Ophelia is considered to be one of the greatest masterpieces of the Pre-Raphaelite style. Combining his interest in Shakespeare's subjects with intense attention to natural detail, Millais created a powerful and memorable image. His selection of the moment in the play Hamlet when Ophelia, driven mad by Hamlet's murder of her father, drowns herself was very unusual for the time. However, it allowed Millais to show off both his technical skills and artistic vision. The figure of Ophelia floats on the water, her midsection slowly beginning to sink. Clothed in an antique dress that the artist purchased specifically for the painting, the viewer can clearly see the weight of the fabric as it floats, but also helps to pull her down. Her hands are in a pose of submission, accepting her fate. She is surrounded by a variety of summer flowers and other botanicals, some of which were explicitly described in Shakespeare's text, while others were included for their symbolic meaning. For example, the ring of violets around Ophelia's neck is a symbol of faithfulness, but can also refer to chastity and death. Painted outdoors near Ewell in Surrey, Millais began the background of the painting in July of 1851. He reported that he got up every day at 6 a.m., began work at 8, and did not return to his lodging until 7 in the evening. He also recounted problems of working outdoors in letters to his friend Mrs. Combe, later published in the biography of Millais by his son J.G. Millais. "I sit tailor fashion under umbrella, throwing a shade scarcely larger than a halfpenny for 11 hours, with a child's mug within reach to satisfy my thirst from the running stream beside me. I am threatened with a notice to appear before a magistrate for trespassing in a field and destroying the hay." His problems did not end when he returned to his studio in mid-October to paint the figure of Ophelia. His model was Elizabeth Siddal, who the Pre-Raphaelite artist met through a friend, Walter Howell Deverell, who had been impressed by her appearance and asked her to model for him. When she met the Pre-Raphaelites, Siddal was working in a hat shop, but she later became a painter and poet in her own right. She also became the wife and muse of Dante Gabriel Rossetti. Millais had Siddal floating in a bath of warm water, kept hot with lamps under the tub. However, one day the lamps went out without being noticed by the engrossed Millais. Siddal caught cold, and her father threatened legal action for damages until Millais agreed to pay the doctor's bills. And the other PRB artists may have threatened to beat him up, or maybe they actually did. There's a lot of folklore around this. Ophelia proved to be a more successful painting for Millais than some of his earlier works, such as Christ in the House of His Parents. It had already been purchased when it was exhibited at the Royal Academy in 1852. Critical opinion, under the influence of John Ruskin, was also beginning to sway in the direction of the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood. The following year, Millais was elected to be an associate for the Royal Academy, an event that Rossetti considered to be the end of the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood. The execution of Ophelia shows the Pre-Raphaelite style at its best. Each reed swaying in the water, every leaf and flower are the product of direct and exacting observation of nature. As we watch the drowning woman slowly sink into the murky water, we experience the tinge of melancholy so common in Victorian art. It is in his ability to combine the ideals of the Pre-Raphaelites with Victorian sensibilities that Millais excels. His depiction of Ophelia is as unforgettable as the character herself. From William Shakespeare's Measure for Measure, Act 3, Scene 1, A Room in a Prison. Isabella. What says my brother? Claudio. Death is a fearful thing. Isabella. And shamed life a hateful? Claudio. Aye, but to die, and go we know not where, to lie in cold obstruction and to rot. This sensible warm motion to become a kneaded clod. And the delighted spirit to bathe in fiery floods, or to reside in thrilling region of thick-ribbed ice, to be imprisoned in the viewless winds and blown with restless violence round about the pendant world, or to be worse than worst of those lawless and uncertain thought, imagine howling. Too horrible. The weariest and most loathed worldly life that age, ache, penury, and imprisonment can lay on nature is a paradise to what we fear of death. Isabella. Alas, alas! William Holman Hunt's Claudio and Isabella illustrates not only the Pre-Raphaelite fascination with William Shakespeare, but also the artist's particular attraction to subjects dealing with issues of morality. Taken from the play Measure for Measure, which tells the story of Claudio, who has been sentenced to death by Lord Angelo, the temporary ruler of Vienna, for impregnating his fiancée. Claudio's sister Isabella, a nun, goes to Angelo to plead for clemency for her brother and is shocked when he suggests that she trade sex for her brother's life. Of course, she refuses, and Claudio initially agrees with her decision, but later changes his mind. Hunt depicts the moment where the imprisoned Claudio suggests that Isabella sacrifice her virginity to gain his freedom. It was the type of subject that appealed to Hunt, who liked themes to do with questions of guilt and sinful behavior, such as his well-known painting The Awakening Conscience of 1853. Claudio's face, which is partly in shadow, looks down and away from his sister. His slouching posture, the rich texture of his dark yet colorful clothes, and pointed medieval-looking shoes are a sharp contrast to the stark white of the nun's habit, her upright posture, and unwavering gaze. Sunlight from the prison window lights Isabella's face and permits a glimpse of apple blossoms and the church in a distance.